Well, this morning we're going to go back into our teaching again on above all things. Hallelujah. I was thinking about, we were singing this morning and singing the lyrics of All Things Are Possible. Jesus said all things are possible to him that believeth. Everything's possible. Think about that. Everything is possible to the one believing. You know, just think about there's no impossibilities. If there is, it's only according to our faith. It's to our faith, not the matter of God. See, most people put the possibilities within the range of God. But God put it in the range of men. He said, what's possible is determined by our faith, not by him. He has already laid it out, said everything's possible. It's already laid out by God. And this morning, we're going to go on this all things are possible. You know, we're looking, but with above all things, and we use the scripture from the King James Version of 3 John 2, which John spoke, it was writing to Gaius and said to him that above all things, he wanted him to prosper and to be in health. And we talk somewhat about prosperity and things, but we're going to go over into the health side of it. And the Lord spoke to me about going over here and about going down through just some just foundational things, things we're going to have to believe and the things we need to believe. It was really interesting because down in Randall Greer, when I was down in January, he made mention of something and he said this. The Lord spoke to him and he said, I know it was the Lord. And he said this thing to me more than one time. And he's speaking on the areas of Christians and believing and using their faith. The Lord said to him, 99.9% of Christians are not using their faith. They're not using it. Now, we may use it to a degree in some things. But you know, when I heard him first say that, he said, you know, the Lord kept saying that to me. And he went back over and then the Lord told him, he said, the church, what the church needs to do. And he said, the people who have taught faith, he said, we need to go back and teach faith like people don't know nothing about faith, because he said, most don't. He said, they've said under it years past, but they've lost many things, and people are not walking where they used to walk. They don't have a hold of things like they had behold of before. And I was sitting there listening to him talk about that, and I thought, you know, he's right. He's right. There's things that have, because what happens is people move on, and they always want something new, and they want something different. And what happens is we lose things. We lose things and we're not walking where we need to walk. I've watched and I've listened over time. I mean, if we went out through our community here and we would visit churches and we would go to churches, if we would ask ministers and people, well, we'd say to them, well, can God heal? They would say, oh, yeah, God could heal. Yeah, well, it's God. Sure, he can heal. And most people think that's some kind of big deal, big revelation. But the fact that God can, just believing the fact that God can heal really doesn't do anything for you, per se. In fact, it doesn't even give you hope that you got a chance. He can heal because most believe, in fact, there's very few churches in our area, in fact, I only know maybe one or so other one that actually believes that God wants to heal everybody and wants everybody well. Most churches, they believe that God uses sickness. We've talked about this many times. God uses sickness to teach people. God can heal, but he doesn't always do it. God's sickness is given to humble you and all this kind of thing. You know, and I don't know where people get that idea. You know, sickness ain't going to humble you. Trouble ain't going to humble you. The Bible tells us to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Humbling is something you're going to have to do. People, if going through bad circumstances humbled people, most Americans would be born again Christians. Well, wouldn't they? You know, here's one thing. I wish the American church would start to look at these little lines they throw out there and all that stuff, and look at life and say, does this line up at all? Is it ain't even happening? They don't. We have all these little cliches and all this stuff that we say. But it ain't working. It don't work. And you know the bad part about it? The church is the only one that don't know it doesn't work. The world knows it doesn't work. And they won't come to the church. The church is beguiled. The devil has got into the church and beguiled us with our little cliches and things that we don't even know what they mean. And we say that they're true. And we have no idea what it's about. Over the years, I've watched people, you know, they thought it was a great thing that they believe God heals, that that's some kind of just great revelation, that God heals. But, you know, for me, if I don't know that He will heal me, what good is that revelation? What good is it? If I can't guarantee it for me, what good is it to know He does it? The only thing it's going to do is make me mad if He heals somebody else and I can't get healed. And I'm going to look at him and say, you're unjust. You have favorites. And really, the church, the majority of the church world, this is their beliefs. The church world that we're around out here, most of them are not convinced that God wants them well. Because people have a hard time getting healed. Even the people who believe they're supposed to have a hard time. It's because they're not convinced. You must be convinced. You must be convinced without a doubt. Remember Mark 11:23? You say to this mountain, you can't have any doubt in your heart. You can't have, you can say what you want, but if there's doubt in your heart, it won't come to pass. No matter whatever you said, you got to have it in your heart and you want to have it. And that's why it's so important that consistently a foundation of faith is laid into people concerning divine healing. It's there because why? Doubts will always want to come and arise. Just because I studied years ago on health and healing, I'm going to tell you, I've had a lot of years of doubts to arise. And you got to always be working against those doubts all the time. You can't go wait till you get sick to try to fight the doubts. You're late. You can't wait for it. The doubts must be dealt with before the thing comes. You know, it's sort of like America in the Second World War. All the warnings of the war were there, but there was no preparation done for it. Look how long it took America to get on its feet and get itself ready for war. When America got ready for war and was absolutely ready for it, the war didn't last long. The big thing of the war was the years that they spent preparing. You need to understand it's no different in your faith. You ain't gonna put it aside and wait aside and then have the battle come because you're going to spend a long time in your problem till you can get your faith if you have the time to get it to the place where you want it to be to overcome. You need to understand that. And that's why it's so important. This is why you study and learn things before you need them. You know, they didn't turn around and take me and set me in Vietnam and start to train me there. I'm going to tell you what, it'd have been a hard place to train. It's a little hard trying to duck bullets and stuff and things and rockets and mortars. And it's a little hard to do that kind of stuff out there trying to train to learn how to do things. No, they took and trained me before I was put into it. You need to understand this. You need to learn the things you need to learn before you end up getting put into it. And I will guarantee you, things will come along. You'll get put into it. Don't think you won't. Hallelujah. Jesus said, in the world there's tribulation. Haven't you noticed? He said, but I've overcome it. Now it's overcome, but nonetheless the tribulation's there. It's overcome. He's already given you the way to have a victory in it, but that don't mean you'll have a victory in it. You must prepare for that victory. You must prepare. And that's one of the big important things I learned that years ago. One of the things we want to look at today in our preparation for this thing is looking in the areas of healing. We've got to lay a foundation, and especially is looking at God concerning healing. You must come to the place where you're convinced that God wants you well. And you need, and another thing, you need to be able to stand against, because out here there are many voices saying many things, and you're around people, and you're going to make a stand in life, and you're going to do things, and you're going to have opposition from people around you about it. They're going to say things. There's always things that are going to try to bring you doubts if you're not settled and you don't know why you stand where you stand. You know, it's like I never understood Christians come and say, "I don't know how to lead anybody to Christ." Well, how'd you accept Christ? If you don't know how to get there, then you probably didn't get there. sort of ludicrous. I mean, I never understood that. I got born again, and I didn't have to go to a class to how to lead somebody to Christ. I got led people to Christ like I got there. I know this, the path that I went got me there. It can get them there too. I don't need another class. Everybody thinks they need a classroom. Dear Lord, if you've arrived, and this is one thing, if you learn how to arrive at a place, get there, you can take somebody else there. The reason most Christians and most spirit-filled Christians can't lead people to healing because they don't know how to get there. They're not convinced on how to get there. You have to know. You can't take anybody place you ain't been. You can't take them there. Many people have gotten healed through manifestations of gifts of the Spirit, but not by their own faith. So they don't know how to get there. They got healed on somebody else's faith. They got healed, somebody else under anointing laid hands on them, they got healed. And now if they have to get on their own, or they don't know how to do that. How do I minister to somebody else? Now I want to say something to you in starting off. When I first got born again, the Lord spoke to me this, and I had never heard anybody else ever say this at the time, but I found out the Lord did say it to other people, and also it's scripturally sound. But the Lord spoke to me concerning healing, because that's basically the area he was pushing me into and really in the areas of studying about healing. And he told me about ministering healing to people, and he said, my power is always present to heal. It's always present. The power of God is always present to heal. You need to understand this. One of the greatest fallacies taught in the church is we're trying to get the healing power of God to someplace. The healing power of God is everywhere all the time. It's everywhere all the time. If it's not, the Holy Ghost ain't in the earth. The Holy Ghost ain't here. So, and doctrinally, the church is all messed up because we talk about the Holy Ghost here, and then we're trying to get the healing power of God. We're trying to get it here. The doctrine of the church is so insane. In their preaching. I read books, the big name books of people, and I sit down and read them and say, my word, these people don't know basic theology of the Bible. They're trying to get God to do what he did. Well, I remember then reading where Jesus was in the house and where they bought the guy and brought him through the roof, and the Bible says the power of God was present to heal. Well, see, everybody thinks this. If there's the power of God is present to heal, then healing will take place. No, it don't mean it at all. It requires faith. Was the power of God present to heal when the woman with the issue of blood was in the crowd? Was it present? How many people got healed? One person. Why? That one person used their faith. Nobody else did. Now the power was present, but nobody else got anything. No one else got anything. No one else received a thing. Jesus appeared to Kenneth E. Hagin and gave him a revelation back in 1952, somewhere. Anyhow, but Jesus gave him a revelation. There's one thing the Lord said to him and told him, which I heard later on after the Lord had spoken to me about this. And I read his thing in his little book he has on this thing about the revelation the Lord gave him about receiving from God, write your own ticket with God. But the Lord told him, the power of God is always present to heal. It's always present to heal. If you don't get anything, get that revelation. Because if you're trying to get God to send healing or to do something, you're heading at it wrong. If you're waiting for it like it's not around, if you're waiting for something special or something, then you're waiting for somebody else to do something. Somebody's going to have to operate in faith. Somebody's going to have to do something. But see, most people are looking, they look at the thing, when it comes to the areas of healing, they're looking at it totally wrong. The Lord said to me, when I was just a baby Christian, he said, when you lay hands on people, if you lay hands on people for healing, he said, my power is always present. My power is always present to heal. He said, now whether they receive it or not, that's up to them. He said, if they don't, that ain't your problem. He said, the power is always present to heal. So they have to use their faith. They're going to have to use their faith. They're going to have to respond to it by faith. And so we need to understand that. People come many times, they want to see if something's going to happen. They want to see. People are waiting. You know, I'll tell you, and in any church I've ever gone, in our church here, you know, if I would come up and the power of God would be here and I'm ministering to people, there's people who will always sit around and wait till they see something. Then they'll get up and come up. And most of the time they never get nothing, and I know they're not, because they're only moved by what they see. They don't believe the power is present. They're waiting to see something. If I can see something, then there's something there. Good preaching anyhow, folks. You know. See, we need to see, many times we think we operate in faith, but we don't operate in faith. We're not operating in faith. We're operating on sight. We're operating on what we see. You know, I've used before as an illustration concerning Betty. Betty has had, over the years, has had really good success. We praying with Betty on things is one of the things we are, because Betty doesn't wait till the pastor is going to do something. She comes when she gets. She has something she wants. Betty comes to me and tells me where the direction she's going. And she wants me to minister to her. That's why she's had such good success. Most people will always sit around and wait. They won't move in a direction. They talk about faith, but never move in a direction. They're always waiting. Always waiting. Well, let's see what the pastor's going to do. Well, what are you going to do? See, we have this thing, and people always listen, and they say it, and it's supposed to be like a really spiritual thing, but I've learned it's not. Have you come to receive? It sounds wonderful. Well, let me ask you the question. Receive what? Well, what did you come to receive? Saying, yes, I did. What does that mean? Receive what? Whatever the devil got for me today. whatever happens today, I'll receive it, good or bad. We'll just take it. What does it mean? You see, we say those things, and it really says, oh, that's a good spiritual. Oh, yes, well, that's like we're using our faith. Faith isn't some abstract thing. It's, yes, I've come to receive. But what is it that you came to receive? Well, this is what I think, and I know. I know when Betty needs a prayer, I know what she's come to receive that Sunday. She'll tell me. She has something specific on her agenda to receive that day. Therefore, her chances of getting something are a lot higher than others. A lot higher. Folks, I'm using illustration. I mean, to me, it's just a good illustration. It's right in front of us all the time that it's here. But most people are just sitting around and waiting. They're talking about faith, but really have not set faith in motion. Most people come to church. I come to church by faith. I come to preach. I get something from God. I know we're supposed to do it. I know things I'm supposed to minister. I know things I'm supposed to do before I get here. I'm in a direction. I'm speaking in a direction. I could come and be the only one in faith. You come to church without direction. You come to church just, well, yeah, let's see what's going to happen this Sunday. Get a good message. Oh, man, great message. Absolutely wonderful. And go home and never even review that message again or ever pay any attention to it again. See, we need to, this following God cannot be a thing we're just, you know, just doing, you know, and it's just going to work out. There is a real need for the church to have direction of what we're going to do. What am I after? What do I need? What is it I'm going after God for? You know, God can preach you a message through me that you need if you act in faith. But if you come here not in faith, you're going to get maybe what somebody else needed or what somebody else, or maybe God's going to give you. But if I don't come with a direction, Lord God, I need things. Was I've told already, you know, I used to realize at Rhema at Bible school, I would go to school sometime, be praying about God, about things. I'd go to class and sit down, and the instructors would stop and say, you know, we're teaching, I know, on this, but I think God wants me to say something. And we'd get over and talk about a certain thing. It's exactly what I've been asking, talking to God. I wanted to understand and know about, and we'd go ahead and talk about it. Now, all the people in the class, but how many people are coming to class, and they're not? They have never went there in faith. They're just going to cross the board, take what comes. There's things that I need. There's things that I'm after. There's things I have to have. And you need to know that. There's things that you have to have, that you need. And come in faith. Many times, dealing in the areas of words of knowledge and words of wisdom, they won't come to you pushing a direction of faith, and God won't use me. God's not just going to up and use me for you if you're not operating in faith. I know how to yield to those things. I've done it hundreds and thousands of times over the years in those gifts. But if you're not pushing in a direction, you need a word, want a word from the Lord. What have you been talking about? What have you been saying and believing? Well, God don't ever seem to talk to me. Good preaching, folks. Good preaching. I just don't hear from the Lord. That stuff don't work through me. I don't ever have none of that. Before gifts of the Spirit ever operated through me, I used to say, man, they're going to operate through me. That's God's plan. And the Bible, it says, I went over and I read there in Corinthians where the gifts were going to be divided through the body severally as He wills. And well, gifts will operate through Ed. I started operating in faith. That's why things work. They don't work by you sitting around waiting for God to operate them. If you're not moving in faith and saying the right stuff and talking the right stuff, you can go all this Christian stuff all you want and it won't work for you. You can sit and listen to the best sermons in the world. And they won't work for you, folks. I'm just telling you. See, this faith things, many times people think they're operating in faith and they're not. We can get over there. Folks, I know what it's like. I can get over there thinking sometimes, yeah, I'm walking for it because I believe certain things. But I'm not acting in that direction at all. And I think, oh, I'm doing good till I found out nothing's working. And then it's like, oh, well. Now I got to start applying to that. Applying to it. Hallelujah. And that's what you're going to have to do. Glory to God. Now, concerning the areas of healing, we have in Acts 10:38 where it tells us, and this is Peter speaking, and I want you to understand this. These are important. When we look at Peter, now the book of Acts was written by Luke. We have Peter's statements here. We also, in the scriptures, we have like Matthew's writing. We have Luke's writing. We have John's writings. These apostles, and I've talked about this before, but I want you to get across to this. The purpose of the 12, of the calling of the 12 apostles of what they're called the apostles of the Lamb. There's many apostles mentioned in the scripture. Paul became apostle, but Paul was not an apostle of the Lamb. Because the apostles of the Lamb, one of the major things that they had that they were supposed to preach, they were eyewitnesses of Jesus Christ. They walked with Him when He was alive. They saw His death and His burial and His resurrection. And they were witnesses of Him to people as an eyewitness that the things that He did and said and all this stuff and they were the eyewitnesses that these facts actually happened. They lived them out. So when we see their words, and like here with Peter, Peter makes this statement. This is Peter who walked with you. Peter said about how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Why? Because God was with him. Now we have this here. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. So we don't need to understand this. Jesus operated as a man in the earth. And this is important. You need to understand Jesus was operating as a man. If Jesus was operating as God in the earth, He needed no anointing. God don't need anointing. God is the anointing. He does. But God anointed him, and what did He do? The purpose of the anointing was to heal everyone who was oppressed of the devil. So we know this. Everyone that Jesus ministered to was under demonic oppression. All sickness, all disease is demonic oppression. That's why coddling sickness and disease is coddling the devil. You don't ever treat sickness and disease. Sickness and disease, is the devil your teacher? Well, see, when people say God makes you sick for a purpose, in other words, God needs the devil to teach you. He can't get across to you. He needs the devil to do it. He needs the devil to get you to understand some things. So then we know this, then if that's true in any sense or form, then God's word is not life and light. Then demonic oppression has some life and light to it, doesn't it? Now, you would never get ministers in our community to admit that or go with that, but that's what most of them believe. They believe God's using sickness. They believe it. See, you can't have any of this in you and get over in the areas trying to get well and trying to hook up with God. You're just going to have a real hit and miss thing going on. You got to become settled. Number one, sickness and disease, you have to identify its author. You're never going to walk in health or hook up to the healing power of God if you don't know who the author of sickness is. If you think God is the author of it, and he's brought it in, and he's part of it, and he's using it. If it's using it, it's his. It's his. Or is the devil the creator, and God has to bow to him every once in a while and say, please, please, Lucifer, let me use your stuff. Come on. Come on, Lucifer. Let me use your stuff. God anointed him. He went about doing good, making as many people sick as he could. He went about doing good. Is there anybody here that sickness, you believe that sickness has some good point to it? You hear? You're probably too scared. If you did, you wouldn't say it anyhow. It's your friend. If you do, I feel bad for you. Sickness, how small it is, whatever it is, its whole point is always to lead to death. Sickness. Satan is the thief who has only done one to steal, to kill, and destroy. Jesus said so. Sickness and disease, he is the father of. And its only purpose is to weaken you and bring you to the point of death if he can. The devil can kill you with a cold, he'll do it. You've heard me say many times, and if you believe that God makes you sick for a purpose, it is a sin to go to a doctor. It's a sin to take any medication to try to get rid of God's will off your life. Why would you do such a thing? Over the years, I've asked people that, you know. And, you know, not to criticize them, but I've said to people, well, I believe God's doing this for a purpose. And I'd say, well, then why are you going to the doctor? This is God's will for you. You ought to be letting it run its course. Wouldn't you? Don't you? I want God's will to run its course in my life. I'm not, you know, I have enough trouble with my flesh without directly trying to be in opposition to God. Directly trying to do, and then getting somebody else to help me do it. See, there's things you have to, that have to become complete lies to you, and places that you refuse to go in your thought. If you don't do that, if you don't have places that you refuse to go in your thought to, somebody will carry you there in your thought. There's things that I just will not listen to. I don't care who says it. He can call himself a prophet. He can call himself anything he wants to. Folks, I've learned over the years making this stuff work, and I've seen how it works. I'm sticking with it. Somebody can say, well, no, it don't work that way. Well, then how does your way work? Let me see it. See, there's things you don't want to go in your life and in your thinking. Now think about this. Like, so you take the woman with the issue of blood. The woman with the issue of blood. Everybody else in the crowd had another way of thinking. She's the only one who thought the way she did. But we know that's true. Because she ended up getting what she wanted. She was the only person other than Jairus in the crowd who was operating in faith. There was not one other person. In fact, none of the disciples were in faith. Not one of the disciples were in faith. There's two people in the crowd in faith. Sounds like the children of Israel with Joshua and Caleb, don't it? It always seems to be a minority in the areas of faith. There's always a remnant that walk in it. The crowd never does. The crowds never walk by faith. Crowds don't walk by faith. Crowds don't go there. Two people. Two people. Now, I'm going to tell you this. You ain't going to get a crowd and not have quite a few people sick. That ain't going to happen. That would be so extraordinary. There's always going to be loads of people that need healed. Jesus was willing to heal. The power of God was present to heal, wasn't it? When that woman needed her healing, was it present? Or did it just show up just for her that day and it hadn't been there? It was always there. The power of God was always present there to heal. It was present the whole time. She hooked up to it. Now, how did she hook up to it? You know, she wouldn't have had to touch him. She had to touch him because she said she did. The centurion came to Jesus and said, you don't have to go lay hands on my servant. You just say the word and he'll be healed. She determined how she was getting healed, not Jesus, not God. She determined that. All things are possible to him that believeth. How are you believing? How are you believing? How is it going to have to be done? How are we going to have to go at this? My voice sets the course. God doesn't. I do. My faith sets the course. My faith. Now, sometimes you can use it. Be smart. You know, if you know somebody has a specific healing anointing, might be a good thing to go join together with them. Some people are anointed by God. There's ministers who are specifically anointed. They have special healing anointings on them for certain things. Brother Hagin used to really, God used him a lot in the areas of tumors and cancer and stuff like that. He said about many things, he would have very few people healed over the areas of blind or deaf and that stuff. Yet now I know a minister, Christopher Long, the deaf and the blind get healed in his meetings, dear God, by the droves. So God used like that. Well, you know, if I'd had you dealing with cancer, you can stand in faith by yourself, but why not go there the anointing? And hey, he lays hands on me. That anointing's going to go into me that's on him. Hallelujah. There's nothing wrong. You can set your course to what you're going to do. But you're going to have to set it with what you believe in your heart and you're saying with your mouth before you get there. The woman with the issue of blood did not set her course when she got there. She set her course before she got there. Jairus set his course before he got to Jesus. The centurion set his course before he got to Jesus. The reason so many people don't get healed and things don't happen, they have never come to receive. They've said nothing about getting ready to do a thing. They're doing nothing. Saying, I'm believing. What does that mean? I'm believing. Well, what am I believing? What I'm believing must be on my voice. The woman with issue of blood spoke her voice. Did she get exactly what her voice had said? Hallelujah. We'll go over and teach about these people. But what I want you to see in this is when we're dealing with Jesus, when we look at Jesus, one of the things of dealing with Jesus and his ministry, I want to read from John 14. I want to go over because I want to read some things. We must be convinced of this thing. Jesus Christ is in his earthly ministry, and this is what we want to look at, his earthly ministry. He was a picture of Father God. That's what he was. And you need to see this because this has to do with healing. We need to see about Jesus in the earth what we find out through Jesus Christ, what the Father God is like, what he's like, what he does. Now, we find in the Gospel of John 14 chapter, this is Jesus speaking to the disciples. Now, just think, Jesus has been with them 3.5 years. Chapter 14, this is the night that they're turning around and eating together, what they call the Last Supper. Remember, the picture was taken, they all got on one side of the table, and the guy said, say cheese, and they all said cheese, they took a picture. They got on one side of the table, they did. That's, you know, everybody. Jesus said, if you guys want to get in this picture, you got to get on this side of the table. Tomorrow over. Okay. Well, this is the night that happened. But I want you to see. Now, think about this. For 3.5 years, Philip's walked with Jesus. And in verse 8, it says, Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it'll suffice us. This is one thing. Now, you want to think about this. We know this, and all the teaching that Jesus did, and all the things that he had done, Philip didn't get it. Just because you hang around the truth don't mean you're going to get the truth. Many people hang around things that they like things, but they never open up or receive it. They never see it for what it is. Hanging around things isn't what makes it work. Now listen, Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long and yet you have not known me, Philip? He asked him a question. I've been with you. Now, Philip, we've been 3.5 years together and you don't even know me. See, people say, oh, if I could just walk with Jesus. If you can't get it by reading it and studying it, you wouldn't get it following him either. Come on. It's in people's thinking, people's ideas. Many times people don't expect to receive. Well, I'll tell you what. I bet there's ones that walked around. Peter, like he got out of the boat and walked in water, and he's criticized for it by most preachers. You know, well, he went out, then he started to sink. Already got out of the boat. Dear Lord, if I could get most Christians to get out of the boat, man, I'd be dancing, my God. That would just be exciting. I don't care if they go under, at least get out of the boat. You ain't going to have a miracle staying in the boat. Standing in the boat saying, I believe, don't mean nothing. It don't mean a thing. Get out of the boat. Well, here he says, he who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? We literally have books written that try to explain, well, I've heard ministers even say, well, I knew Jesus very well, but I didn't know the Father well. And there's books written about getting to know the Father. If you don't know the Father, it's because you don't know Jesus. They ain't characters with different moralities, with different powers, doing different things. Jesus, he who has seen me sees the Father. So how can you say this? Show us the Father. How can you do this, Philip? 3.5 years, and I've been teaching you guys, and the night I'm going to die, you slap me, Philip, and say, you didn't teach me. I didn't know. Jesus was good to him, you know? No lightning struck him. He didn't kill him or make him wish he was dead. Now, listen when he asks, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father's in me? I could ask this as a minister today, do you believe that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me? We talk about being God being in us. The church don't believe that at all. This is one of the great problems in the church world today. It's 99.9% can say these things. But if you really go over and talk like Jesus, the stones will definitely come out. Listen, I'm in the Father. Look, the words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority. But the Father who dwells in me, he does the works. Now, you need to get a hold of this. Important statement. In other words, what I speak and what I do isn't mine, it's his. In other words, what you hear, Jesus said, look, Philip, what you've heard me say isn't mine. I've been down here anointed by him. And I say words that he told me to say. When you hear me speak words, this is Dad talking. This is Father God speaking. The works that you see done, these aren't my works. These are the Father's works. That's what they are. These are the Father's works. Now listen to what he says. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Now look what he has to say to the guy. Look, at least believe in the works. Okay, come on, Philip. Believe something. See, you thought you were a deadhead. You ought to read the scripture sometime. You wouldn't walk around thinking about yourself. There's so many idiots in the Bible. They make me feel good. I think, dear Lord, Lord, I've been dumb, but I go over and read these guys. I think, my God, at my worst, I'm doing better than them. I ain't even seen Jesus or a walk with him, and I believe this stuff. Those guys, well, they walked around with it and questioned it. So we're doing pretty good, aren't we? But you know what? No, we are. We have built a holy shrine to these guys. We name our shrines after him. Give these guys all this stuff. And we put them as if, oh man, they had it all. They're just people like you and I. And many of us have done better at it than that. They accomplished what they did because of the anointing of God. It wasn't because of their greatness. And you got to understand that about you. It's not about your greatness. If you cooperate with the power of God in your life, God can do things. If you walk by faith and not by sight, I'll tell you what, God can do wonderful things. And see, we need to understand about this, Jesus. Now, in Hebrews 1 and 1 through 3, but I want to read here because it says about this, about Jesus, who he is, this Jesus. It said in verse 1, and I'm going to go through some of these things quickly, and you can write them down of where they're. It's Hebrews, the first chapter. We're going to read verse 1 through 3. It says, God, who at various times in various ways spoke in the past to the fathers by the prophets. And he said, what? has in these last days spoken to us by His Son. How did God speak? Through the Son. God spoke to the Son. So when Jesus was in the earth speaking, it was Father God speaking to us. It was God the Father speaking to man. That's what it says here. That's what it was. Whom has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds, who being what? The brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. And I'm just going to stop there with that. But He's the brightness of the image. In the earth, He was the brightness image of God. And what we saw about Him, He was like, well, Philip, you've been with me all this time and you're asking me to see the Father? I've been with you all this whole time. God's been expressed through Jesus the whole time. Everything that Jesus did and lived out in those 3.5 years that those apostles walked with Him, everything they did, it was the glory of God revealed through a man to see what Father God was like. So men could see what Father God was like. This would be a great revelation for most of the church world today. Most of the church world think, this Jesus is the nice guy under grace and the Father. If it wouldn't be for Jesus' blood, Dad wants to kill us all. It's like, Jesus has been holding Him back. He's been trying to get off the throne with that big hatchet. And Jesus can, no, Dad, sit down. Come on, Dad, not yet. Hold off. Dad wants to get him. John wrote himself in John the first chapter. And in verse 1, John 1st chapter, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, is sickness life? Is it light? Did God have to come to the earth to show people that they didn't like sickness? They didn't like it before God ever showed up with Jesus. Jesus, we find, in Him was what? Life. And the life He had was the light of men. Sickness and disease is darkness. Its author is Satan. It is darkness. It entered the earth through sin. It didn't enter the earth because God sent it here. It came. Now in verse 14 says, concerning who the Word is, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And what we beheld His glory and the glory of the only begotten of the Father. Full of what? Grace and truth. I thought He made people sick. I thought He would follow the Father. He'd make people sick to teach. There's people would come to Him and He'd say, no, God wants you sick for a reason. Is that anywhere in the Gospels? Do you see that in the Gospels anywhere? Is there anywhere if you read, and this one thing, is read the Gospels. And this is what doesn't make sense. People say, I've heard ministers preach that Jesus was the expressed image of God, and then talk about God wants people sick for a reason. Then Jesus was not the expressed image of God, was He? Because we don't find any time He told people they were supposed to be sick, that God didn't want them well. He never did that. He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil because God was with Him. Jesus Christ was a healer. We don't have, from a scriptural standpoint, and this is a wonderful thing because I think there's 19 different instances in the New Testament, people personally healed by Jesus. Never one of those people came to Him. Anybody that specifically came to be healed, that He told them it wasn't God's will. Never one time. Now we find sometimes multitudes were healed. They weren't healed by faith. They were healed by gifts of the Spirit in operation. God did those things. We know this because the multitudes would have never got it. But He never told somebody, no, the leper. You know, the leper comes and he asks the question. I know you can, if you're willing, you can make me well. He asked the question. I know if you're willing to heal me, you can do that, but he wants to answer the question. Are you willing to heal me? And what Jesus say? Well, I don't know, I have to ask Dad. Maybe He wants you sick a while, you know. You know, I know you suffer with leprosy, but I'll tell you, I think it would be a good humbling experience if you do it for another 5 years, man. I would really be a humble man then. My God, you just really, and I'll tell you, would you really glorify God? Oh, people would be so excited over your leprosy. I'll tell you, if God uses sickness to get glory, for me to get sick so he can have glory, I hope you get the sickness because I don't want to glorify God. I just don't want to do that. I have no interest in that. I have no interest, and I know anybody else has any interest. Everybody I ever met that believes those crazy things, they are the fastest ones to run to the doctor to try to get off of them the glory. Get the glory off of me! I can't stand it no more. Let's get it out of here. He was the Word who became flesh. He dwelt among us. Hallelujah. He was full of grace and truth. To me, sickness and disease and grace, I don't see how you can run it hand in hand. I don't see how you can talk about grace and in grace there's sickness. Ooh, is that ever gracious? Oh, my words! Is that exciting or what? Folks, I am trying to show you how absurd it is, the beliefs of men. How absurd they are. And they're absurd. Christians have the most absurd beliefs. It's because they don't know the definitions of words and they don't read them. People read according to what somebody told them the Bible said. Read the words. They're good ones. John 12:45, Jesus said, "And he who sees me sees him who sent me." He who sees me. In other words, what we see in Jesus, what we see in his ministry and what he did, it was seeing God himself. This is God the Father in operation. This is how God wants to conduct himself and do among people. This is God. John, the 12th chapter, again, and here, just jump down to 48. Listen to what he says. 48 says, "He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last days." You see, because listen, "For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak." Jesus is declaring, he's saying, look, I'm saying what I'm speaking and what I'm saying, what you hear, this is God the Father talking. And he told the people here that if you turn, you don't believe this stuff, you're going to be judged by what I said that you didn't believe. You need to understand this. We as Christians need to be very careful. We tend to be so frivolous about the Word of God. We're going to be judged by what we hear and we didn't believe. If we decided not to. It's going to judge us in the last days. What we heard is going to judge us. How many people in this lifetime have had words that they heard? Don't do this, don't do that. It's going to cause you some problem. And they keep doing it. Then the problem shows up. And all of a sudden, yeah, well, they said that this, the words that were spoken to them judged them. And now they're judged by those words. Yes, I didn't obey them and I didn't do them. And now I've received the judgment. And this is verse 50 says, "And I know that his commandment is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak." The words that Jesus speaks are everlasting life. These words here, this term is used here as everlasting life, is really the God life, is what it is. Everlasting life is the God kind of life. Now, the words Jesus speak are from the God kind of life. So if he's never spoken for people to be sick or people to be demon-possessed or anything like that, we know then that is not in eternal life. That eternal life doesn't have that, does it? It don't have that. It's not in it. Well, if it's not in it, then the Father didn't put it in there. So what did the Father come? The Father came to reveal everlasting life, or that word they use it, eternal life, but really, it's the word in its actual meaning is the God kind of life. It's the life that God has. It don't mean from the standpoint that we like look at as physically living forever. In this body here, you're not going to physically live forever, if you haven't noticed. Hallelujah, we will get a new body, but it's not going to be like this one. Glory to God, thank God, it ain't going to be like this one. Hallelujah. In John, the 7th chapter, I want to look at Jesus. Jesus said here in John, the 7th chapter, verse 16, Jesus answered and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. So in other words, what Jesus taught, his doctrine that he taught, was not his own doctrine. It wasn't his. If anyone wants to do his will, speaking of God the Father, you want to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. He said, my doctrine is not my own. If anyone wants to do God's will, what are they going to have to do? They're going to end up to receiving the doctrine that he preaches, because that's what God is saying. Now, we know this. The Pharisees wouldn't receive his doctrine. They wouldn't receive what he preached. That's why he told them their father was the devil. He was a liar. He said he was a liar from the beginning. That's your dad. He said, you know, you're going to be just like your dad. Your daddy is. He told them they're going to be like their father is. Whether people realize it, the devil has a very strong, large stronghold in the church today, because most of the church world does not believe the doctrines that Jesus Christ preached. Oh, they'll talk about this thing, but, well, that was all for back then. Thinking that's okay if I throw it back there for then. I'm going to start. Right? Everlasting life ain't changed. God life never changed. The command of God has never changed. What God requires never changes. God changes not. You know, we were singing about all the promises. We were singing about promises and are yes and amen. You know what? Most of the church world would never sing that song, even though it's scriptural. That all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Well, sometimes God says yes, sometimes he says no. That's what most of the church world believes. They don't believe you can always get your prayer answered. They don't believe God would honor his word all the time. They don't believe it. The majority of the church, whether they realize it or not, they teach doctrines of devils. They speak against Jesus Christ himself. Now, they don't believe they do. They think they're just, but they are. They're talking against the word of God. But I know why they do it. They have been told over the years that this stuff is right, that they're saying, and they don't check to find out. They just stand up and just keep giving the same old thing they were told. They just keep saying the same old things that they were told, and they just keep repeating the same things. And you need to understand this. The majority of the Christians that you're around, they're going to preach that doctrine. That's their belief. That's the way they think. And that's the direction that they're heading in. And I'm not stoning them. I'm not getting up a party to go stone them. It's just the way that it is, but you need to identify. You can't identify with it if you don't know the truth. You need to get the truth in you, because there's the opposition against the truth is always greater than the ones for it. There's always more against it. Look at Jesus. When it comes down to who's on whose side, how many were on his? Yet he is speaking exactly what the Father says. He has spoken no lies, all truth. He has done, everything that he's done is true, is right. Hallelujah. But I'm going to tell you what, his grace will keep it. I don't care what the crowd's doing. Hallelujah. His grace can keep Donald Trump. I don't care what the media does. They can keep him. And we need to get over and not think. See, we've lost faith, and we're trying to fight men with men's power. We need to come down the thing. I don't care who's on whose side. I'm going to tell you, it's me and Jesus, and we're going to win. Just forget about it. I don't care if anybody else joins with Ed. I'll tell you, it's me and Jesus, and we ain't losing on the deal. Hallelujah. People can do what they want. Now in John 5, we look at the 5th chapter of John, verse 19 says this, then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, again those words, I'm going to tell you the truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God. That's what this word, assuredly I say to you, it'd be like saying that. I'm telling you the truth. He said, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. Now just think about this. All the ministry that Jesus did, Jesus just declared, this is not me doing this. This is what the Father does. I'm just copying him. Now if God makes people sick, wouldn't it be that Jesus should have shown some of that? He said, Dad, don't show that. No, don't. Hide some things. Hide some things. Now listen to this. Verse 20. For the Father loves the Son, and listen to what he says, and shows him all things that he himself does. Jesus' ministry showed exactly all the aspects of what the Father is like, what he does. If God's using sickness to try to teach people stuff, I mean, think this. I mean, if anybody could ever have convinced me that that's true, I would have never became a Christian. Because all these kids in the hospitals, and you know, just go over here to the children's hospital, they're all there because of God. If he's doing that, what would I want to serve? I don't want to go to heaven with that idiot. I don't want to go to heaven with that sicko. I'll tell you what, most Christianity today has a perverted God. Like I always say, it's a schizophrenic God. Sometimes he's nice and then he quits taking his pills and then he gets really weird. He does all kind of crazy stuff. Then Jesus gets him back on his meds again. And then he gets better for a time. Jesus said here, now could Jesus be lying? The Father don't show him everything. He didn't show him all what he does. And this is what it says. Then Jesus said, he's going to even show me greater stuff than these that you can marvel. Oh, yes. He's going to show me stuff how I can really make people sick and stuff. And I, oh, everybody's going to be excited about that one. Wow, they ain't got enough of it. He's invented some new diseases. You thought the other ones were bad. Watch this. Oh, hallelujah. Well, we might as well laugh. I'm just kidding. But you know, it's really, when I look down and I look at these things and things that people say, it really grips me because they're talking about my God and they're talking about him being bad. He's not good. When I was 11 years old, I told my parents I didn't want to go to heaven because this is the God that was preached in our churches. And I know my friends that I had, and we went to people, different churches, and they all preached the junk. They all believed the junk. I didn't preach truth. You know, as if we didn't have enough trouble in this earth, God was sending us more. It's like, oh my God, what are we going to do? 11 years old, I said, do you want to go to heaven? I said, no. I said, why would he be nice to us there if he's not nice to us here? 11-year-old had more wisdom than the entire church. I knew that was weird and strange. Why? But see, if you measure it, why would you love somebody who's running around hurting other people? We lock them up in jail for doing that. I just saw that there's parents that are going to go to prison because they supposedly were believing God for the healing of their child, but they were messed up. They had messed up on a bunch. They're one of these people that they don't believe. They think that not going to the doctor is faith. Not going to the doctor is not faith, just because you don't go to the doctor. And they had a 2-year-old child that died. Could have easily been treated. So they're going to prison for that. Now, they shouldn't go to prison if God made the kids sick. We'll lock God up. He's the guy that started this nonsense. Why would we be locking people up for doing the will of God? Because if God caused it to happen, and sickness is of God's thing, well, you know, it would be like saying, you know, I want to marry my wife, I really love her. And why do you love her? Well, she makes me sick sometimes, you know, and she just, you know, she'll doctor some food or give me a drink that'll really make me, you know, because she's trying to humble me. She's a real nice person. I can't wait to get married and spend my life with her. You see, as an 11-year-old kid, I thought Christians were insane. Yeah. And I still do today. I still do today. Because the person that they most think does them harm is the one they say they love. The one who's causing all the bad stuff in the earth. And he sent the hurricane to kill him. He sent the tornado. It's humbling them, isn't it? I mean, I'll tell you, they're all turning to Jesus, aren't they? Do you ever look at the book of Revelation, all the destruction of the earth? How many of them are turning to Jesus? I swear that Christianity generally does never read the Bible. They never read it. I'm sorry. I couldn't live a sick pervert. I'm sorry. I couldn't do it. Hallelujah. John the 8th chapter, verse 28. Then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, now here he's talking about the crucifixion. The crucifixion, lift up the Son of Man. Then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. Jesus said the believer was supposed to know. He told the disciples, after I'm crucified, now that you guys are going to all know this, that I've only been talking what God said and doing his works. You're going to know what your dad's like. And the church today don't. We were supposed to know that God was so good, that he wants everybody well. He wants people healed. But they're going to have, now look, we have a part to play by faith. It's not going to happen just because I sit around and say, well, yeah, you know, there's a God. God wants me well. Well, God wanting me well might not get me a thing. My parents wanted me to behave so they didn't have to whoop me. But sometimes I did things and they had to whoop me. It wasn't their plan. They just wanted to whoop Ed. And maybe sometimes they did. They thought, that kid needs whooped again. I don't care if he does anything. Bring him in. We'll whoop him. He probably did something anyhow. Folks, Jesus' ministry. And he said, after this is crucified, I'm lifted up. After the crucifixion thing, everybody's going to, they're supposed to know this. The world is supposed to know that the ministry of Jesus is just like Daddy is. He's the one going about healing all that are oppressed of the devil because God's with him. He's not going around making people sick. He's making people hurting people and doing stuff. He's not doing that. Listen. Here's what Jesus, we'll close with this one. I'm serious. I have loads of scriptures on this, and there's loads of them that I don't even have on here that continually prove this thing through the scriptures. And you know what? You have to have not read scripture to not see this stuff. The scriptures are full of it. They're filled with it. Luke 7, verse 20. Here's Luke. Now, Luke, this takes this account here that took place concerning John the Baptist, his followers. Now, it's in verse 20, he says, when the men had come to him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? In other words, are you the Messiah? Are you the one anointed by God? Are you the one that's anointed by the Father? Are you one? Now, here's how he tells that he has God's anointing. This is how, listen, and that very hour he cured many of infirmities, afflictions, evil spirits, and to many blind he gave sight. And many he made sick so they could learn things. And many he turned around and made sick so they could be humbled. And many, don't say that, does it? Now listen what Jesus says. This is the proof. Now, we just read his whole ministry. I don't say anything the Father don't say. I don't do anything the Father don't do. And he tells John, this is how you can know I'm the Messiah. Jesus answered and said to them, go and tell John the things you have seen and heard. What he has seen and what you've heard. See, Jesus said, I never say anything the Father don't say. You tell him what you actually heard me say. Tell him what you see. Listen, what do you see? That the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them. Anybody tells me anything else about God, they are wrong. They are wrong. Anybody tells me that God wants you sick, that God makes you sick, they are absolutely wrong. It defies Scripture. It defies Scripture. If Jesus did all this stuff and God hid the fact of those other things, then Jesus' ministry was a fraud and he did not depict what the Father was really like. Is that what we're ready to say about Jesus? It ain't. It ain't. Why? Now, I want you to think about this, folks. Jesus Christ would save Ed Gibson. I mean, that's a phenomenal thing in itself. Now, this same Ed Gibson that he would save, he would pass from death unto life, this same one who lived a life of sin, sure didn't follow God, man. I tell you what, if God was moving in a direction, I was moving in the other one. Now, he did all that. Just, you know, he wanted to save Ed. He was reaching out to Ed. So he takes this one that lives like this and makes him into a new creation. Gives him a complete, just through faith. Makes me his child. Now, he wants to spend eternity with him. He wants me to go off to heaven. He did all that. Look, healing is not a great miracle. The reason people can't receive healing, they think it's some big deal. Healing ain't big deal. The salvation, getting born again, was the big deal. The greatest miracle that took place. In fact, you read over in the Old Testament talks about God created the earth with his fingers. He created and put the stars in place with his fingers. He did that. In other words, it was to show you this. It didn't take much energy of God to do what you see, the place that we live in, and what it didn't take much energy of God to do that. That was finger stuff. That was no more than like sitting down and writing with a pen. But the Bible tells that God brought, it required his arm to bring salvation. The greatest miracle and the most power it took was what God did through Jesus Christ to take a dead spirit and turn it into a life-giving spirit. When he did that through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that was the most powerful thing because all humanity was put into that. And anybody that would believe on Jesus would be born again. That's the most power ever exerted by God. And God would do that for humanity and then he won't heal us? How stupid that would be. What would be the point of that? What would be the point that he wouldn't want all my needs met? What would be the point? I mean, that is absolutely ignorance gone to seed. The church has had ignorance gone to seed. They've just ignorance after ignorance after ignorance trying to justify what the devil does in the earth thinking it's God. To me, healing in my body is the logical result of salvation. It's the logical result of it. Just think about this. Under the old covenant, the logical result under the old covenant who were not born again, the logical result of God was to heal his people. Under that covenant, the weakness of that covenant, he thought they deserved healing. We have a better covenant based on better promises. It ain't better if it ain't got healing in it. It ain't better if it got prosperity in it because they had that in their covenant. The reason a $10 bill is better than a $5 bill is because it got two fives in it. If you take one five out of it, it ain't no better, is it? The church has turned around and decided to throw the covenant out and take something worth less. I'll tell you what, don't buy it, folks. Don't take it. Let them preach it. I don't pay attention to them. Thank God, I have knobs on my radios and I know how to turn the channel. My watch. There's loads of things I'd rather watch some unbeliever doing than listen to some preacher trying to tell me to be an unbeliever. Dear Lord, God. Sitting around telling us, I'll tell you what, if we have somebody who's ill, yes, we want to pray for our sister, but you never know, sometimes God has a reason. You know, God needs another star in heaven. He needs another star in heaven? He ain't got enough of them? These trillions of stars out here ain't enough? I mean, this one of the things I figured, he probably needs reading glasses. He ain't as well as he said he was. He can't see what he got. We say all these things to try to comfort ourselves in our stupidity and in our ignorance. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You could tell people things and I'm terrible and I'm ugly and you may be right. But don't talk about my God that way. You ain't going to get anywhere in life bad talking God. Even in ignorance, you ain't going to get anywhere doing it. It's going to hurt you to think that God is the one out to get you. God's not out to get you. God before me, who can be against me? That's what Paul said. Who can be? God's for me. God's for you. I know, maybe you've done dumb things. My words, join the club, been there and the rest of us, we've done dumb things. There's one thing, I know God's for me. I know there's things I've ended up in problems in life, but it wasn't because God was against me. Sometimes Ed was against Ed. But God was never against me. God was always for me. And so you got to get a picture of God, and that's one of the things. You'll never, we can sit and say all the promises are yes and amen. They'll never be real to you till you get the right picture of who your Father is. There'll never be a place of faith there. You'll always be trying to, you know, believe and wondering and this and that and the other thing. Get yourself settled in the fact of who He is and how He views you and what He did in sending Jesus. And when you sit and read those Gospels and you see how God used the man Jesus Christ in the earth to reveal His glory, that same glory He wants to reveal today, it has not changed. That glory. And now that glory is in the person of the glorified Jesus Christ. He's God, operating as God today. If what was done under the man who wasn't operating as God, what would the glory be today when He's operating as God? Hallelujah! Glory! If you thought He was good then, my words, is He good now? Is He good now? Glory to God. And He ain't trying to make you sick. Hallelujah. He wants you to be well. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Father, we want to thank You for healing.